بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We are talking about relating with non-Muslims and explain the three different categories: Muwalat, Muwasat, and Mu'amalat. Then there are other two types of relationships. One is commonly known as mudarat, and the other is known as mudahanat. So, mudarat refers to being considerate, softening up, compromising. So this type of softening and consideration is done against either a person of mischief, is a mischief maker, or you apprehend some type of harm, some type of mischief, some type of zulm. On account of the wrong, on account of the mischief that may come from his end, then you are considerate, you are a little bit relaxed. إِلَّا أَن تَتَّقُوا مِنْهُمْ تُقَى. Quran Sharif, the wording is إِلَّا أَن تَتَّقُوا مِنْهُمْ تُقَى, that you're not going to be befriending them, but an exception, a provision is made where you apprehend some type of fear, some type of wrong, some type of cruelty from the end. So on account of the cruelty that comes from the end, then you are a little bit considerate and you show some type of respect. Normally you wouldn't have shown that respect, but if you're not going to show that respect, then you may suffer some type of the consequence. So you show some type of respect. So this is permissible in two situations. One is where you apprehend some type of evil from that person, so you are a little bit relaxed, you consider it, and you show some respect. Like, for example, you appear in court, so you say, Your Majesty, and or what funny words they use normally, Your Worship and Your Majesty, etc. So you don't respect him normally. If he's living in your street, you won't get up for him, you won't say Your Majesty and all that. But you know, when he's in office and you're not going to show that respect, then the implications can be serious. So in order to save yourself from that type of implications, legal implications, etc., you show some type of a formal surface respect. So this is also permissible. You don't mean to respect the person, nor do you have any love for him, nor do you have any type of, you don't hold him in esteem and respect, but genuinely you are afraid of the implication that can come up. So you will stand up for that person. Now this standing up is not really a standing up of respect. Like, for example, we are seated here, right? And if a vicious wild dog has to just come in, we all get up, right? So we got up out of respect. We didn't get up out of respect, but out of fear, we apprehend some harm coming from that end. So in order to ward away that harm, we get up, we do something like that, right? So this is just to ward away some evil, some mischief, some type of cruelty from us. We show some outer, external, formal type of a respect. Nowadays, in a politician, or a minister, right, who's got some big influence, or a mayor or something, right? So we will show some type of consideration and some type of a respect to that person. And that respect and consideration is not because we do love the person or we respect him, but we understand that if you're not going to do it, then there's going to be some major implications. So that is what the Quran Sharif is saying, إِلَّا أَن تَتَّقُوا مِنْهُمْ تُقَى لَا يَتَّخِذِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَلَيْسَ مِنَ اللَّهِ فِي شَيْءٍ. Muslims are not going to befriend them. They're not going to show love to them. And if you want to show love to them, then you've got nothing to do with us. Quran is saying clearly, "Man yafal dhalika falaysa min Allah." You got nothing to do with Allah Ta'ala, you've broken away. But one provision, one exception is made, illa an tattaqu minhum tuqa, where you apprehend some type of mischief, some type of harm from that end. So you are showing outward surface respect and consideration. So that is the one situation. The other situation where it's also allowed to show some consideration and some type of softness is where you want to draw the person closer to Islam. One is a ahl al-shar and one is a jahil. So it's a jahil, he's ignorant, doesn't know about Islam. And you need to draw him closer to Islam. So in order to show him some, in order to draw him closer to Islam, then outwardly you show some respect. You show some love. So this type of mudarat, the second type, is the special way of the awliya-i-kiram, that when they want to draw the person nearer to Allah Ta'ala, then they show him some type of mannerism, some type of respect, some type of outer consideration. The idea is what? The idea is to bring him closer to Allah Ta'ala. But he doesn't understand, and he's a distant away from Islam and deen. Now, how are you going to get him to Islam? That is why you'll find that on some occasions, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave big, big, great gifts to people that had just come recently to Islam. Some older Muslims, they were a little bit wary about this. They found it, they didn't find it too pleasant. We had been serving Islam, and we had been making the sacrifices for Islam, we've been struggling. Now, when it is a time for us to enjoy the benefits, then the benefits are given to these people here. So Rabbi Sam explained to them that, you see, you people are a different lot, you are a different class, and they are a different class. These people here, we are showing them consideration because they are very weak in their deen. They're right on the edge, they just come in now. And if you're not going to display any type of outer consideration and muhabbat and some type of compassion to them, some type of kindness to them, then they will go even further away from deen. Because they are right at the edge. But you people, I have trust in your iman. You're old, you're not going to shift, you're not going to be weary, you're not going to be shaky. And he went on to explain to them, would you like that other people will go with sheep and with wealth and return back to their homes, and you people will return with Allah and His Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what you will like. So you people, I have the confidence in you, I have the respect for you, I have that full confidence in you people, trust in you. But these people are a different lot altogether. So now this is one type of mudarat. Right? That is now permissible, and that the second class, as explained, is a special way of the awliya-i-kiram. They are considerate, they are soft, they show outer respect just to draw the person nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they have to show it because that person doesn't have any understanding of deen. He doesn't know what is Islam all about. He doesn't know what is deen all about. And if you want to show him some type of an indifferent attitude, then he will become even more distant. Like, for example, now it's a person that doesn't have a beard, for example, but they will still show him some respect, some consideration. Now, will you say that this person is breaking a sunnah and you are still showing respect? That will now revolve around the person's intention. Right? What was his intention? He showed him some consideration, some type of outer respect and consideration and love. Why? Because he can understand, okay, this person is far away from deen, very, very far from deen. I'm going for gusht at his house, right? And I need to get him, connect him to the masjid. If I'm not going to show him any respect, any consideration, then he is far as it is, and he'll drift away even further. And if I show him a little bit of respect, a little bit of consideration, muhabbat, then from the point that he is, he will come closer. It will be a point for reflection. Oh, these people have been considerate to me. They've been so kind to me. I need to reflect about this. Like I explained to you about Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, and outwardly how he showed respect and consideration to that judge that was sitting with him in that apartment, right? And what a difference it made to him in that person's life. It just capsized him, turned him around completely. where he wasn't performing one namaz and suddenly he began to perform all the namaz. Where he didn't have a beard and now suddenly he got a beard. So would you say that Mawlana was respecting a fasik and a fajir? You will not say. So his intention was to draw the person closer. He's jahil, he doesn't know about deen, he doesn't know about Islam, he doesn't know what all Islam is about. Now must you allow him to drift even further away, or must you try somehow to bring him closer to deen? So that is a very great challenge. And I say this is a special mannerisms of the Ahlullah. And then that is why you'll find that they will treat people slightly different. Every person won't be treated the same way. So we mustn't be fast and jump into conclusion and say there's discrimination here. Sometimes we learn some big words, discrimination, and we just apply it, randomly make sweeping statements. It's not the right thing. It's a person with deficient knowledge that makes random statements, it is sweeping statements. You know. To understand the context, why he's done it, who he's done it to, when it was done, what was the circumstances, there must have been some reason for him to conduct himself in this manner. Alamgir Rahmatullah Ali, three criminals were brought to him for the same crime. Three identical same crime were brought to him. One person, he just stared at him, stiff look. The other person, he reprimanded him. And the other person, he beat him up severely. Severe beating he gave him. So some of the courtiers and the attendants complained, okay, the crime was exactly the same. Then why this injustice? Why this discrimination? So he says, afsos ki baat hai, you know, it's a pity you people can't see what I'm seeing. All right, just for a test, go and see these three people. You know, go and see them. After an hour, 2 hours, just go and see them. So they went. After 2-3 hours, they went. They went to the first person and janaza preparations were being made. He took it so personally that the king had to stare at me. So the sensitivity was so much in him that he couldn't handle it, he couldn't tolerate it. He went into a shock, and that led to a heart attack. He died. He took it so seriously. Okay, he got a heart attack, heart failed, and he died. They went to the second person, and the second person's home, he saw doctors are there, people are attending to him, he was unconscious. The king has shouted me, had reprimanded me. He couldn't take it. So the sensitivity was so great. And when they went and checked the third person, he is back to that same mischief that he was committing. So what's wrong now? I caught it. I'll catch it again. What's wrong? One of those things now, you know, you have to just carry on in life. I got it one time, I got it the other time. So one of those things, it's all right. It's not a big deal, not a train smash. I didn't die now. One, two shots, what? It won't make a difference to my life. So now, he viewed it differently. The first person viewed it differently. The second person viewed it differently. So he had to meet out the punishment, understanding the background. Just to digress a little bit, one old woman, she was advising her son, that was the king, you know. You mustn't just get married just like that. You just look at beauty, outer beauty, and just get married like that. That's not the right thing. You must look for ways, characteristics, style, etc. One is the inner dimension, one is the outer dimension of a person. You can't just randomly just see the beauty, outward beauty, and just get married to the person. Okay? Like how it is in this day and time. You just look at the outer age. She's got some degrees and she's beautiful by just getting into a marriage. So you need to look at the outer dimension, inner dimension, what the mannerisms are like, what is the level of respect, discipline, etc. Because you're looking at a woman that's going to be the mother of your children. If she's right, then the children will go right. And if she is all ulta sida, upside down she is, then that will be the end with your children. So the king, in the meanwhile, had got married to someone, some scrap he got, whether for the beauty, anything, and he got married to her. So when the mother told him, you know, you must be a little bit careful, wary when you get married, because this is going to be a lifelong companion, and over and above, by and large, it's going to be the mother of your children. She's going to mother your children. So if she's got a bad way, then your children will go that same way. She is good, then the children will go the same way. So anyway, to make a trial of all his three wives, you know. So he asked the first wife, all right, how do you discover that it is Subha Sadiq, you know, like Fajr time is just coming. How do you discover? How do you make out? So the first one was coming from a very polished and a very disciplined, respectable background. She was coming in from. So she says, you know, in a disciplined, respectable way, she said, when I see the glitter on the stone of my ring, you know, my diamond ring, that unique glitter I see, and I make out, it's Fajr time, you know. Now, she's coming from one background, so she answers accordingly. Then he asked the second one, how do you make out that it is Fajr time has set in already? So she says, you know what, I make it out in this manner. There is a serene feeling at the time, very serene, holy feeling that you feel, pure, clean, your mind is absolutely clear, and the tiredness has just all collapsed in you. So I make our noise, Fajr time. Second one finished. Now the third one, he came to the third one. How do you make out it's already Fajr time set in? So she said, Jab goon nikalta hai. When I want to go pass out number two, then I make out it's Fajr time. So the king had to pack up, say, bye bye, go home, you better at home, now take some gifts and go home. Because he can understand now, she's not polished, she's not that level of discipline, she doesn't have that type of ethic, mannerism, etc. And then she's going to pass on these same things to my wife, to my children. And then my children will be all lunatics just now, they'll be all delinquents just now. So I don't want delinquents, I don't want to produce delinquents. I need to have someone to respect etiquettes, mannerisms, values, etc. So there's people that tell you that, oh, you must, you know, you was just married to the woman of your choice, you must meet up and you must know and all that. So it's all fly-by-night people, you see. Freelancers and fly-by-night people. So don't get too caught up with them. Look at your elders. They went through life and they'll wish for you more than what you will think for yourself. They'll think better for you. And you'll see those marriages, more or less they work out. Because it's been arranged by people that are mature, thinking. They don't only look at the short term, but they look at the long term as well. Anyway, now you get a second situation, what you call it is mudahanat. One is at all mudarat, and mudarat explained that this was the special feat and the way of the awliya-i-kiram. And then you get a second situation, what you call it, mudahanat, right? Outwardly, mudarat and mudahanat seem to be the same, because mudarat also means to have a compromising attitude, a compromising approach. Like mudarat, you have a little bit of a compromising approach. Here also you have a compromising approach. Just that the intentions are different. In mudaharat, what happens, you have a compromising soft approach towards a person, but more or less to gain some type of material gain from him. Right? To gain something materially from him. So you have a little bit of a compromising and a soft approach towards that person. Now this is a dangerous thing, very, very dangerous thing. So you were soft and you were compromising, but for what? For a dini value, or to guard yourself and save yourself in the way of, you know, apprehending yourself. For what reason you did? So you were a little bit soft, you were compromising, you were lenient, you were considerate, but for some type of a worldly benefit. Now this can happen, and so there can be so many examples that can be quoted for that. One example, right? The Imam Sahib is in namaz, for example, right? And he knows now that the trustee is coming in. The trustee made an indication. So the Imam Sahib knows his trustee is coming in. So now he dragged the namaz so that he can be in good books with the trustee. He doesn't shoot into ruku quickly. Now he'll stress that, you know, he's reading Inna Anzalna. So he'll make a real qira'at style. Inna Anzalnahu fi. So Imam Sahib got the trustee got the namaz, he got the rakat, so the in good books. But now that consideration was done for what? to the trustee for material reason, because I know my job is secure because of this man here. Just now my job will go on the line, so I need to do something here. So he was in what? He was in namaz. Right? Namaz was supposed to be totally for Allah Ta'ala. Now it's for who? That stretching of the namaz was for who? The stretching of the namaz was for the trustee. So as though he's done for Allah Ta'ala and he's done for trustee as well. Right? Now you see how he messed it up. Right? So that can be very serious. The implications for this is quite serious. I'm not saying what the implication, but it can be very serious. Very, very serious. Right? One example. What you did it for? See, both on the surface, they seem to be identical. They both seem to be alike. But what was the catalyst? Here, what was the catalyst? And here, what was the catalyst? What was the intention? Around 79 or 80, when there was this tricameral and all that, you know. So I was invited one place. And I regret why I went. Anyway, it was a Muslim, and he had some type of a jalsa, and he called me. So, anyway, that person is late now. Also quite an influential person. So, because of his influence and all that, he had the influence on the ministers and all that. So he called one, two ministers as well of that area, MPs of that area. Seated him on the stage, alright, that was one level. But then he allowed him to speak as well. Now I can still remember those words ringing in my ear, you know. So the words that he gave in his address, it's a non-Muslim Hindu, and he gave some words in his address. So in his address, what he said, that we shouldn't be discriminating on the basis of religion, because religions are all like one level, rivulets all running into one ocean. It's a polished, very glossy finish. The normal person doesn't understand what he's getting at, you see. Normal person doesn't understand. What he said, it's like, it's all one single thing, all rivulets running into the same ocean. So on the basis of religion, you mustn't discriminate and mustn't have any type of differences, you know. Because all are ending at the same spot. What he's saying? All are ending at the same spot. So what he was actually saying, that all religions are the same, all are going at the same end. So whether you remain a Hindu, Christian, Buddhist, Judaism, whatever, you will still end up the same. All will go to Jannah, the body. That's what he was saying. See. So if there is an unwary, ignorant Muslim that is in that audience, that would have been like the norm, right? 95% ball is all the rank and the file. Now, what he will think that the Mulana is there, this person is here, Fana is here, and this is the address that he's giving. So that means it's not really important that you stick to Islam. You have one religion, is alright, any Hinduism, Christian, whatever, but all of all will go to the same end, all go to Jannah, see? Because all going to the same ocean, see? This is what he will take on. The lesson that he will take and go home, this is the lesson. See. But the analogy wasn't right. The analogy was not right because, like I showed the discrepancy and how people's minds can become confused and complicated. Because if someone knows the ocean, how the ocean works, right? The ocean, when there is a flood or something, right, a lot of dirt is thrown into the ocean. The ocean then cleans up and dirt is all thrown back. Out. All dirt is thrown out, it will just take the good and throw out all the dirt. So if there is sewage, whatever, it will throw it back into the land and the water itself will be absolutely clear. So that's the ocean. So if you're going in that direction, but you are dirt, you are filth, right? The ocean will throw you out. It will only take that which is pure. What is impure, it will reject. أَمَّا الزَّبَدُ فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءَ. All that which is dirt, useless, it will be all thrown out, all flung out. So that's what will happen eventually in the day of Qiyamah and Akhirat as well. Okay, you're going in that direction and you think you're going right, but when you're not right, then you are thrown out. فَدُرِيبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورِ اللَّهُ بَابٍ. باطنه فيه الرحمة وظاهره من قبله العذاب. قالوا ألم نكن معكم. On the day of Qiyamah, when it will be a time of sorting out, right? Then, as though this munafiqin, etc., will be with the believers. Then, فَدُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ لَهُ بَابٍ. There'll be a dividing wall, partition. Right? بَاطِنُهُ فِي الرَّحْمَةُ وَظَاهِرُهُ مِنْ قِبَلِهِ الْعَذَابِ. On the inner side will be jannat and comforts, etc. And the outer side will be azab. Now this munafiqin, etc., that jamaat, that whole squad is on that end. That whole gang is on that side. And the jannat is on the side of the comfort. So now this munafiqin and this kuffar are asking the believers, but alam nakum makum, in this world, weren't we together and all that? Weren't we all? قَالُوا بَلَىٰ وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِيُّ حَتَّى جَاءَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. Yeah, you had some other sinister intentions. You had not the right intentions, not right ways. Your ways were corrupt, your intentions were corrupt, so you can't be with the believers today. So on the day of sorting out, this thing is sorted out. Now everything seems to be like, you know, all identical. But when the day of sorting out comes out, then you get sorted out. See? Now this is one example I'm showing you, right? This is something that happened in front of my eyes. And I was forced to sit there, but I regret up till now why I had to sit there. I'm thinking now that the common person that is sitting there in that gathering, and what's going to happen to his mind? Isn't his mind going to get confused and complicated? So what's going to happen to him? This is how he's reasoning. A second thing that happened, but this happened to some person that came here. Not my friend, but he came and he gave a whole rundown of a story that of his own story. So he's in the business and is a little bit bigger businesses. So he's got, because of his bigger contacts and all that overseas and in within this country, so his business contacts now, they call him, he calls them. If there's some function, then he has to attend. And if some function on his side, they come. And then they will provide tickets and all that. Because now they're doing that level of business, you see, millions they're doing. So they will call in their contacts. And if they got something, the contacts got something, the contacts will call them as well. So anyway, because of this business relationship, he had to go to fly over to India. All tickets, everything provided, hotel, accommodation, for him, his wife, his children, for all that 2 weeks, everything's provided. Because that level of business they're doing, you see. So anyway, now, they were in that wedding, whatever it was, the Hindu wedding, and in that whole wedding now they got one, they got the stage and whatever, the deco and all that on one end, and then they got some of their booths and their idols also, right? So, it was a time now where the bride was receiving guests and all that. There was a little bit of movement. So around that time, the children were playing around, and then they went through that booth and all that, right? That booth that was full display there. So the Hindu children, naturally, they saw their parents kissing and prostrating and all to that idol. So children were playing with children. So these young children, 7, 8 years of age, they saw that those Hindu children were prostrating and kissing and all that, so they did the same thing. Right? Now you see, Islam says, mudahanat. You're going to be soft. You're going to be considerate, but to what level? You're going to preserve your identity. You're not going to mix up and complicate your identity with this. Now, what these children did was an open act of disbelief. They prostrated, they kissed those idols, and they began to like supplicate, like how Hindus supplicate. Like, they began to do all those acts, what they saw those children doing. But it was the fault of their elders, because they didn't know their dividing line. You know, they didn't know where to cut off. See, you cut off at a certain point. We will interact and we will do business. But there's a dividing line. You will not cross over on my side and I will not cross over on your end. In the old days, these people had it, see. Like, we were living, so there were some quite a wealthy people, you know, very wealthy people. Now to that family is still prosperous, alhamdulillah. But it wasn't that they were very close to deen. No, not very close to deen. But they had now Hindus and all that, they were doing business big, on a higher level, that were living in the neighborhood as well. So this Muslim chacha, although he was not very, very dini, but he told that Hindu counterpart of his, see, we are in business with together. But you see, your children will not mix up with my children will not mix up with yours. Your children will not marry mine, and mine will not marry yours. We will just keep a relationship on the business, and that's it. Other things then, we will be distinct from you. Now imagine if he didn't have a border, what would happen? Right? Oh, the business relationship is growing and growing and growing, right? They're going to millions and billions, they're going in. So now, they reach a point, after when you're in that state of mind, then you begin to worship money. Then you're not so loyal to your deen. Then you begin to become loyal to wealth. So you see wealth on that end, then the child also is attracted on that end. You are attracted on that end, then the child is also attracted on that end. See? So this chacha was quite sharp, and he says, oh, see. And I seen afterwards that some of his children or grandchildren were not married to very, very wealthy, prosperous people, but he made sure that they're all good Muslims. Was. So he had it. He was screwed right, the old man. He's late now. Allah forgive him. Allah fill his grave with noor. But it's something to think about, reflect about. See this mudahanat. So you soften up and you have a compromising approach for material gains. Now that is a very, very, very serious thing. Very serious thing. And we need to be wary about it, because we're living in a Muslim minority. All around us, 95%, 98% is all kuffar. We are just 1, 2% here. 2%, 3% we are, right? So it's easy for us in the minority to get roped in. To get influence is very easy. It's not a difficult thing. So now at all times we have to be wary, we have to be careful, and we have to then conscientize our children as well. This is out, this is not in. This is out, this is not in. Whether it is their clothing, whether it is their ways, whether it is their mannerisms, etc. You know. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا سُمَّ وَعُمْيَانَ. Many a times this goes through my mind, you know. Right. لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا سُمَّ وَعُمْيَانَ. They don't just fall deaf and dumb. In other words, when they fall, then it's for a proper reason. Right? It's for a proper reason. They don't just emulate anything deaf and dumb. They'll understand what they're doing, and then they go to it. Like, you know, you saw this Nike signs, right? And people feel it, they consider it as a mark of honor, respect to wear any of that Nike brand. Right, brand clothing, right? But now you go and analyze the whole thing, what it is. After analyzing, it comes to a greed goddess. So you got that greed goddess way on your hat, on your head you've got it. Right? So you put it on your sajda place, where you're going to make sajda, you put your that greed goddess on your head. Imagine what you've done. Right on your head you've put it, on your sajda place you've put it, right? So if you come across this type of a new thing, a brand name or something, then you can't just get into it. You can't just get into it before you didn't understand what it is all about. It's a name or a brand name, but what it represents, what it stands for, what it's a symbol of what. Before I understand what it symbolizes, I can't just get into it. Then to say, no, I didn't know about it, but then why did you get into a thing that you didn't know about? By the same way, by the same token now, little bit apprehensive of saying it, but now, you got, everybody got this topis, right? A topi got K-way, right? K-way. But what it stands for, I'm sure 100% doesn't know about it, what it stands for. But it could be nothing wrong, but it could be something similar to Nike as well. Can't it be? It could be something, nothing wrong in it. Nothing sinister, nothing evil, right? But it could also be something like Nike. Is there the possibility or not? So, لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا سُمَّ وَأُمْيَانَ. When they see something, they don't just fall blind and deaf. They are wary about it. Something new, we need to be cautious about it. like I explained, those children, they didn't know what they were doing, right? You would say they're mazur, but they did an act of kufr, a shirk, right? They didn't know what they were doing and they fell down in prostration. So what they did was very serious. And then you will put the blame onto their parents. Parents, of course, at that time, he tells me, that at that time I couldn't stop my child because it was in the presence of my host. Now what can I do? I'm between a rock and a hard place. What must I do now? The difficult thing is a business counterpart I've got, we're doing millions of business, and just the relationship just breaks, just snaps there. So it's between wealth and his deen. Where does he cut off? See? Now that same chacha, that chacha comes to my mind. You know, I say, hey, that was a chacha. Although he didn't have a beard and all that properly, but he knew his Islam properly. His iman and yaqeen, he had it right, that man. So he knew where to keep the money. The money is separate, and this relationship is separate. We won't mix the both. There was an incident. One person came and admitted his child to the madrasa. So I think mid-year and you brought your son to the madrasa, you pulled him out of school, what happened? He was in a private school, and mid-year now, you pulled him out and you brought him here. So, kya ho gaya bhai? What happened? He said, no, I got a shock, man. The other day, we were sitting for supper, and my little child, 8, 9 years of age, that was attending that private school. So as he's at the supper table, then for some moments, he closed his eyes and he says, grace. So I thought, where this thing came from? This is a pure Christian ethos. You say grace and you close your eyes, put your head down, all that, and then you start eating. Hey, this time my child will get, he'll run away into Christianity. He'll like their ways and he'll run away. What's going to happen to me just now? So come what may, this is not on at all. This is not on. I messed up in a big way. I've messed up. Miktoba for that, but I'm moving my child straight. So you see, you will be considerate. Islam doesn't say that you're not going to be considerate, but where are you going to cut off? Where are you going to draw the line? There must be a point where you're going to draw the line. You can't just that, oh, everything just to, yeah, kachumar, everything mix up. You can't do that. It will come like the Ajmer ka deg, you know, everything they throw inside, everything. Ajmer ka, everything they put inside. You can't allow that to happen. So you, Islam has got its borders, the borders are defined, and Islam doesn't entertain anything that is foreign, it will not entertain it. It's like pure milk, right? Pure milk, and you can't add anything that is alien to it. Now in the pure milk, if you put just one drop of urine, you will say now the majority is right. Can't you just take out the majority? You know how in this world nowadays, majority counts, right? So the majority of the content is right. It's just one single drop. So because of a single drop, now you're going to say, can't undrinkable. Will you say that? So that drop is so serious. Like if it was one drop of AIDS, right? One drop of AIDS in a whole liter of milk, would you consume that milk? You won't consume that milk. By the same token, you won't do that, you won't do this as well. So our symbols of Islam, whatever signifies and identifies with Islam, that you have to preserve at any given time. You have to preserve it, you have to look after it, you have to respect it. I say about the people of the old, and they were so cautious about this. There was one cousin of mine that she was blind from birth. She passed away about 2-3 years now. About 70 she was and she passed away. So she was blind, was total blind, or just very, very little vision she had. So there were some Hindu neighbors, they said, you know, we got a whole temple there in India, a big temple. You may just give gold that equivalent to that, sacrifice it to that idol in that temple, and the eyes will be restored. So the old ladies then told them, see, even the life goes, forget the eyes, even if the life goes, we're not going to do something like this. The life can go also, it's all right, but we're not going to do something like this. So they know their deen and they know the iman, and it's something to preserve. Although, if I know them, they weren't very educated people. But it was the iman that they preserved, they didn't experiment with that. That wasn't a thing to be experimented with. Life can come and go, it's in Allah Pak's hand, but this is not a thing that we experiment with. So when you take care of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala takes care of you. Remember, you look after Him, and He will never neglect you. He will never discard you, he'll never disown you. But you respect him all, at all time. His symbols, his signs. Badri Alam Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, many South Africans had Islahi relationship with him, like how you have Mashaykh. So in the 60s, people had a lot of had ta'alluq with him. So he would advise South Africans that, you see, you people are living in a Muslim minority, so the symbols that you can preserve of Islam, you must do it. Like, for example, you know, the topi is a symbol of Islam. In our context, it's a symbol of Islam. So you ensure that you wear it, and your children wear it as well. At least identify with Islam. Or walking in the street, you can't make out Musliman here, Hindu, Christian, you can't make out the person. You are Muslim, so at least you must. There must be your identity. Must say it. You mustn't have that. You know, why must I identify? Everybody is in one way. Why must I be the odd one out? They are the odd one out. They want to be like all same, right? They want to be the same. On the day of Qiyamah, if Allah Pak says all these people that were the same go to Jahannam, you want to go with them? Do you want to be separated or you want to go with them? So if you want to be separated, then from now you need to show that I'm different. I'm different, I don't want to be with the rest of the crowd. So from the symbols that you will have, that will also declare that you are a different person. You've got nothing to do with that, right? You can't say it's just a piece of cloth and that a piece of cloth and you're taking it so serious. It's just a little bit of a marking or a brand name and it is you're taking it so serious. Can't say that. I ask you, for example, you're going to the American embassy for your visa applications, right? And you got a t-shirt, up the Taliban. You're going for a visa application to American embassy. Will they ever give you giving them a big bayan, it's just a slogan, yeah, nothing serious. I mean, this 1-2 words can't collapse your country. So why are you refusing me? Will they listen to your bayan? Yeah? Only one slogan, yeah, and you're taking it so serious. You know, use your brains now, be understanding. So there your brains can work very well. Your brains can work very well, very, very well. You won't never take a try, right? Or you got, you know, on the back of your t-shirt, you got Mullah Umar and Usama. I support them. Will you do that when you're going applying for that? You never do that. You know why you'll never do it. You know, between you and Allah, you know why you'll never take a chance in doing that. What it means to them, you know. So by the same token, that it's not acceptable for them. This is not acceptable for us. Not acceptable for them, not acceptable for us. This is going against your value system, this is going against our value system. See? So this this aspect of mudahara that I explained, that you have a compromising attitude and approach just for some type of a material gain. There's a small exception to the rule. Sometimes it's just pure business, right? It's pure business you're doing. And it's your business partner, so you're a little bit soft with the person, right? He comes in, it's a good business partner, so you would offer him some cold drink or some juice, whatever it is. Now that's a different thing. There, it's not flavored with any, it's not mixed with anything religion. You're not mixing your religious principles, he's not mixing religious principles. No religious principles are being mixed up. But in this cases that I've cited now, your religious principles are being sacrificed. Yeah, it's just business. He knows his business and you know it's business. So you've been considerate to your business partner or your client or your supplier just for business reasons. So you showed him a little bit of consideration. Because you know the business that you are making from him is only that. So your deen, you haven't put your deen onto the block. You haven't compromised and sacrificed your deen. It is pure business that you are doing with the person. Otherwise now then you have a situation, it's a very long discussion. But you have a situation now, like a politician, right? So his religion revolves around maslihat, expediency. Convenience and expediency. His religion revolves around that, right? So now, for example, it's around election times. Right? He wants your vote. So he'll come to a masjid and he'll wear on topi and kali he'll make a namaz also. For that political game, what he'll do? He'll make a namaz also. If he can't, he'll see some people, some chairmen there, So he'll join the chairman group. What he'll do now, he'll put on topi there and he will do something, right? So the common Muslim will say, hey, he got so much of respect for Islam. That's a common Muslim. But you don't know, he's doing it just for a political expediency. Just now from the masjid, he will go to one church just now. In the church there, he'll put a big cross there. So just now, in 1 minute he was Muslim. Then he went to Christianity, got a big cross there, and he's doing that, whatever he needs to do there. He'll do that. And from there, he'll push on to one temple, and he'll put a big dot on his forehead, right? And he'll make one Hindu sign with a three with a tail sign. He'll put all that. So the Christians also clap for him, the Hindus also clap for him. Hey, what a hero this person is. So he's got no religion. But he's just gaining some type of political mileage. You know, it's so simple to see that he's gaining some type of a political mileage. That's all, nothing more than that. Now, we must be so thick in our brains, because he's got so much of respect for Islam. He pulled out his shoes, he went and made wuzu nicely, and he came and sat in the masjid, you know, so decently and respectfully, he did all that. So we must be very thick to think that, oh, he's got so much of respect for Islam. You know? It's like this. That's why I say, for most people, this type of literature, this type of relationship is very dangerous. Now look at, let us say one incident, and end up this. I need to continue with this, but Bernard Shaw, he says that the best religion is Islam, but the worst people are Muslims. Right? So that what he has said actually, in order to bribe you, right, to bribe you to buy the second statement, you are the worst people, he had to bribe you with a big bribe. What? The best religion is Islam. But the worst people are Muslims. What he's saying you? That if Islam were the best religion, why are you the worst people? That's what he's telling you. If Islam was the best religion, then why are you the best? Why are the worst people? So you're not the best people, don't worry. And if Islam was the best religion, then why didn't he accept Islam? If Islam was the best, right, in his research and in his studies, he found Islam to be the best, then why didn't he accept the best? You know, this is gold and this is silver. Gold is best, right? So then it'll be a stupid person to leave that gold. If you want an option to take the gold or silver, it'll be a stupid person that will leave the gold and go for the silver. So why did he leave the gold? It's common sense. Why did he leave the gold? So in his heart, Islam is not the best, but he had to give you a bribe. So the bribe was like this. See, the Islam is the best religion, but you people are the worst people. That was a bribe. Now the bribery doesn't have to be only in wealth. Bribery can be in words. In other forms, I'll give you a title, you know, your PhD and like this and like that. So I gave you one big title I gave you. So that was the title I gave you, or the praise was just to bribe you, to get some type of favor out of you. Allah Baktu Fikr.